Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 69 of Nutanix Weekly. I'm your host, Andy Whiteside. I've got a full house. I've got, like, if I was playing cards, I know this would be a winning hand, right? Philip Sellers from the Zintegra side. Philip runs our infrastructure side of our practice as a solutions architect and as a team subject matter expert. Philip, how's it going?
Good, Andy. How you doing?
Good. You still, so I know coming to us, you had knowledge of Nutanix, but since being here for how many months now?
A little over nine months.
So I know I've watched you kind of light up around Nutanix. What's the thing that excites you the most about what you've learned about Nutanix that you didn't know coming into this?
Wow. Plug your ears, Ben and Jaira. But the whole hyperconverged thing, completely irrelevant. It is a platform play. It is so much more than hyperconverged, and it's a simplification of the way that you operate infrastructure. And so there's so much goodness that goes way beyond the whole three-tier versus hyper-converged. And so really, I'm happy to elevate that conversation with customers and talk about, you know, objects and talk about files and talk about database orchestration and column orchestration and all of the other great things that you get out of the platform.
Yeah. Ben, Jaira, you take that as an answer?
Yeah, I mean, jokes on you, Philip. I didn't plug my ears because I fully agree. And I'm not on video because I'm in my mobile office, the one that rolls up and down I-85 around here. And I just am coming back from a meeting where I said that exact thing, right? It's about a platform that lets you get to running your apps and managing your data faster, right? Like, let's just get there faster and get more done.
Yep.
And I would totally agree. I had a little bit of a reality shock when I came over here because basically in cloud, nobody's buying a hypervisor. They're buying the platform of the cloud vendor. And that's what Nutanix really is a platform. It's elevated itself from storage. It's elevated itself from a hypervisor. It's elevated itself from HCI. It is a platform that can do all these things you just talked about, Philip. So no offense here, man. I was actually glad to hear what you say, because that's what I try to tell people is don't pin us into a corner. We're more than that.
Yeah. I'm probably.
Well, and you're right. And you're right, Ben, that same way you don't go to cloud for hypervisor. You don't go there for the storage whiz bang HCI either, right? It's the platform. So with that, I'm done. You, Andy.
I was just going to say, I'm the guy that still loves to have the HCI conversation, because I think there's still a ton of people that just don't quite understand how hyperconverged changes things. However, I do agree with Philip that investments Nutanix making is in a platform, both on-prem, in the cloud, hybrid cloud, you name it. We'll come back to that in a second. Harvey Green, so on with us. Harvey runs our state and local and federal business. Harvey, what's the number one thing you think that SLED-fed customer doesn't know about Nutanix they should?
The rest of what that platform brings them.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, I mean, you guys just hit on it very much so. Andy is 100% right that there still needs to be a lot of conversation around hyperconverged and what it can do for people and the benefits behind it. But then right on top of that, you know, doing that with Nutanix and all of the other things that it now brings you as options, that's where it needs to be.
Yeah.
I mean, everything government sector-wise is built on making sure that you've got a platform to continue to build on and move forward with, and not just piecemeal everything together.
Right.
Now, I'll give you one of the coolest things about the platform. One license covers it all. And that is a differentiator with us, man. It doesn't matter. I had a person say today, you know, why did they buy Nutanix? And I said, simply because they don't have to pick where they're going to put it right now. They can buy the one license and move it wherever they need to, according to what their business needs are. They want to go on-prem, stay on-prem. You want to go to cloud, go to cloud. You want to go to third-party cloud, go to third-party cloud. It doesn't matter. That one ticket will buy you all the rides you need.
Yeah, that's also an interesting thing about both government and education. And really, it kind of goes all the way over to commercial enterprise, any customer really. That gives them the ability to have some consistency and ability to expect what's coming for them in the future.
Right.
Not only that, let me tell you a story, and this is a Zintegra customer. I have confidence going back to their leadership in private conversations when they want to get rid of all the vendors and they just want the geeks in the room and I have total confidence I can look at the CEO and go, when you go into meetings, the last thing you want to know is what's the limitations of your IT department. What you want to do is go in and go, whatever problem that's out there, my IT department can solve it. And that's what this platform does for you. She'll be able to sit in meetings and go, oh, you want to do cloud? No problem. We've got a cloud solution already procured. Oh, you want to stay on-prem? No problem. You want to go in a third-party data center? She really can have conversations that drives her business forward and not have to worry about what limitations she has on the technical side when she comes back to the IT department to ask them, can they do this? She knows the answer is yes.
Right.
So that's the voice of Ben Rogers. Ben is hanging out in his home office there. Ben, what's going on in your world?
Ben, I'm having a good time, man. We had a good quarter. Having a lot of conversations with customers, and just I'm amazed at how different customers handle different problems. Again, I've got some customers that are trying to get the cloud and look for a platform that's making that easy. I have some customers, to be real honest with you, they've had the cloud cost shock, and they're talking to us about how they can get it back on-prem, and we're amazed at how much NX hardware they can buy at the amount that they can buy out in the cloud, man. And so when you look at the economics of it, and I hate to put that as a driving force to anybody's decision, but, man, those conversations rule. A lot of times, man, we see customers making IT decisions based on cost, and when cost comes down, we see a lot of customers, man, retracting back to on-prem. So just a really interesting time, man. Having a good time, learning a lot. Man, very happy where I'm at. Man, the future's bright. So, man, I'm wearing my sunglasses.
That's good. Yeah, I was telling you guys a story a minute ago. I got up this morning, I think it was, and I saw one person that I kind of trust post that everybody's desktop was moving to the cloud in the next year or two. And then I had Philip post something that says this customer decided to get out of cloud. And I don't know if it was a technical or a cost or both, but it's certainly a very viable conversation. And what I highlight over and over with you guys is Zintegra has our own data center. So maybe we're the answer. Maybe it's not public cloud. Maybe it's not private data center. Maybe it's some type of hybrid cloud that's the answer for hosting these workloads. Jira Cox, sounds like he's in the car heading up the interstate or down the interstate? Which direction?
Up? Yeah, up.
What the, we're just a day trip?
Just a day trip. Yeah. Charlotte, headed back home to Raleigh now.
Okay. Yeah. Well, wave as you're on your way by.
Well, for anyone listening, I'm not driving. I'm sitting here in a sheets enjoying some cold beverage and staring at my phone.
Nice. Oh,
that might be worse. Cold beverage. I'm sure it's a slush gift sometime. All right. So what we decided to talk about today, let me share my screen. I should already have that done. Sorry. We got this blog from Nutanix, Nutanix Move, M-O-V-E, which is a product, which is is it a tool or a product? We'll get to that. Now migrates between 22,000 and 26,000 VMs to AHV per quarter. Jira, you helped us come up with this one as the one we want to cover. What's the premise behind this blog and why did you want to cover it?
I love it. It's one of our most undersung benefits, I think, because I don't know whether to pick tool or product, because things can be two things. I think it's both, I guess. And of course it's free, so that's always great to hear. But fundamentally, I'd love to see the success here, right? So as a tool, right, Move is some of the tooling we give our customers that help them move over to AHV, right? Because it's always up to we've lived this the last 15 years, right? It's up to the hypervisor vendor to kind of write the onboarding tooling, right? Like back in the day with, of course, VMware Converter, Azure Migration Tools, AWS Migration Tools. How do I get on AHV? Well, here's the AHV Fluid Migration Tool from Nutanix. Super easy to use. But I mean, kudos to the team, right? Like, so this is celebrating a couple of things. You know, the run rate, 22 to 20,000 VMs per quarter. But also the kind of aggregate 100,000 VMs moved to token, right? That's pretty cool. So coming up, you know, got the comma in there, a tenth of the way to the 2-comma club.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that for a minute, man. That 100,000 VMs per year. I did a little math on that. That's basically 8,333 VMs per month. And that breaks down to 275 VMs per day that are being moved with this product. That's pretty astounding to me, man. When you can move, you know, close to 300 VMs per day with an application, that's a lot of power, man.
Well, let's talk about what the tool does. I think Jira did kind of mention it some, and that's where you take this tool, you take it from some other hypervisor software, and you grab it, you swizzle the tools for AHV into it. Do you take out the old tools or do you leave it in?
So, right. So tools do a lot of work there. So it's the migration tool. It's really a virtual appliance, right? Call it what it is. It's a virtual appliance that you can run a whole bunch of places. That, and it's in the data path, right? So you deploy this tool to what it from, like let's say a vCenter, and what it send to, like AHV with Prism. And then you can start building your migration plans, right? So say, start with those 10 VMs and those 20 VMs first. And it will start reading that VM data, really actually just like a VM backup. So it'll take a VM snapshot, same with any other VM-based backup tool does. It can then read out that unchanging, like call it crash consistent data in that snapshot, send it over to the destination cluster, and then rinse and repeat, right? And with every single delta, it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller and getting caught up more in real time. So eventually, I think the current version of Move does a run rate of every 10 minutes. It does a new snapshot to keep the source and destination environments in really, really close sync so that you're never more than 10 minutes stale on the new environment. So that when you choose to do a cutover, which it also can automate for you, when you choose to do a cutover, then it will do a VM shutdown on the source environment, final snapshot. So then now the data set's not changing at all. So we get our final delta send over, power it on. You can test it because testing is very, very important. You can even test it during the business day, right? As non-impactfully, just unplug the VNIC. You know, did the VM replicate successfully and kind of power it on?
Right.
And then, of course, at that point, yeah, you certainly are free to uninstall VMware tools. Or, you know, some customers also will do data protection between Nutanix AHV and Nutanix vSphere because that can go either way with production on AHV and DR on vSphere, or more commonly, production on vSphere, DR on AHV. And those in-guest tool sets can coexist, right, and set you up for success with cross-hypervisor DR.
Awesome. Philip, did you guys use any of these migration tools at your previous role?
Not in the previous role, but we're using them a ton here at Zintegra with our customers. You know, we have a lot of folks that are having conversations about migrations between hypervisors, and AHV is a popular destination. So Move is a great tool because it does that heavy orchestration work for you and really does break it down and make it simple. So when our PSO group is delivering migration services, a lot of times Move is somewhere in the mix. So getting a lot of use out of it at this point.
So much to cover here. So this next section talks about the power of Nutanix AHV. Well, let me say this, and maybe that's part of this. So we move, no pun intended. We have the ability to move it from wherever it lives to AHV, and maybe this is covered in this section here. What AHV? We're talking about AHV on your data center, somewhere in the middle, somewhere up in the cloud. Does it matter, Jira?
Matter. It sure doesn't. It sure doesn't. That, and one of the best use cases actually can be for customers that are looking to use Nutanix in public cloud to speed up their applications and achieve a lower per application cost price point. If you've got a couple hundred VMs up in public cloud, then you've got a really good chance that moving those on to what we call NC2, which is Nutanix on bare metal in public cloud, will actually make them run faster and save you money. Well, how would I get my VMs from like Azure Native or AWS Native onto NC2, well, that's Move again, pointing, like you said, to AHV, Andy.
Yeah. So the section here says the power of Nutanix AHV. Is that, I mean, what is that covering?
So AHV, of course, is super powerful, highly performant. It's also, of course, it's included, which means it's right there at the core of the Nutanix ROI, right? What does Nutanix do for me? Well, you know, with that one... Ben touched on, right, that one license, right? Well, now we've covered your virtualization needs as well. and with an included hypervisor at an even better price point. So, but then of course, management is simple, easy as well, right? Like, you know, no one went to school to learn how to run their smartphone. We don't get, you know, renewals on our certifications every year to run the new iOS, the new Android version. And we think that data center management can be that intuitive as well, right? So Prism is just easy to use out of the box. We can make anybody an expert in about 30 to 60 minutes of what do I do in Prism to help run my applications in my enterprise's private or hybrid multi-cloud.
Right. Yeah, there's always been this feeling that this didn't have to be this hard.
So imagine, Andy, you know, one of the things that I get the luxury of doing when I'm talking to clients, it doesn't matter what direction they're going, whether they're going from on-prem out the cloud or, you know, God forbid they've gone the cloud and now they need to look at an alternative because of cost. Move just makes it very simply. So a lot of IT directors, a lot of IT managers, network administrators will go, hey, you know, how do we get things migrated from source A to source B? We have a perfect answer. It's move. Go from wherever you want to wherever you need to be. And so, you know, for us, and then the other thing, people go, what's it cost? And we go, it's free. It's part of the platform. It's not free. It comes bundled with the platform. We have, you know, application costs that go along with developing this, but we're not charging our customers for that technology. We're just rolling that into the cost of the platform itself. So again, man, I get to sit in front of customers when they ask the complexity of this. I go, it's not complex. It's very easy. It's what's your source? What's your destination? What's your time lag that you need to be? And when do you need to cut this over? I do want to make a point. This is not a replication tool. This is not a backup tool. This is simply a migration tool. And so for our users in the crowd, man, this is not doing any kind of replication backing up. This is simply, I got VMs that live here. I need to move those VMs over here so they can live there with minimum effort. That's what this product does. And that's really the power of it, in my opinion.
Yeah. And it's leveraging that underlying AOS capabilities or underlying VM container piece, getting that over to AHV AOS in a one-time move potentially, or maybe you have to move it again later and nothing stops you from doing that. Is that right?
Totally. Well, and we don't talk about that enough in some ways around that ability to pick up via cloud. Because we think mobility is always going to be part of everyone's sort of operating practice and need for skill sets, probably perpetually, right? Like we're never going to stop doing migrations, right? So we'll never stop making them easier and easier for our customers. Whether that involves, you know, of course, AHV as well, but also like, how do I get my VMs out of cloud A or cloud B or cloud C?
Hey, Jira, real quick, you might want to turn off incoming video if you have it on. You might want to put your phone. You're doing really well, but it does break up occasionally. All right, so Ben, I'll come to you.
Understood, says, thanks.
Nutanix Move, the migration maestro. Walk us through what they're trying to cover here in these four pieces.
So, you know, the first is just, man, making it easy to migrate the VMs from source A to source B. Again, we don't want that to be something that, you know, kills a project or gives scope creep into a project. We want to make it just very easy. And again, I can sit in front of my customers and go, we've got technology that will help you move those VMs from A to Z. The wide compatibility, that's simply, you know, man, we can go between ESX, Hyper-V, AHV, obviously. We can also go between the cloud vendors. Again, like Jira said, if you've got something that's out in native Azure today, and the cost is killing you and you want to look at an alternative, we can talk to you about bringing that back to NC2 on Azure using our platform and Microsoft's bare metal services. A lot of companies go, well, how do I get it out of native Azure? You know, again, Move will get you back into NC2 AHV from Azure. Downtime. We don't want you to experience downtime doing this. So we have a way for you to do this during production hours and after hours. And then we also have a way for you to be able to get what hadn't been caught in the first round. So I'll bring this back to the way I had to do this in healthcare. I might have to move VMs to another system, but then I would have to test that system. Well, guess what? I'm having to do tests while I'm in production. I can't bring it down. So again, we're minimizing downtime here. We're letting you have both environments up and running. You're able to do testing before you actually do a cutover. And then when you realize that you want a cutover, we have a means to go grab the last little bit of data that was out there in production and bring it over to your test, what's going to be your production systems in the future. And then, man, it's risk-free. You know, we're not doing any deletions. We're basically copying and migrating. So nothing gets lost on the source side. Everything's moved to the target side. Again, minimizing risk, giving customers a way to be able to move things over, to be able to utilize it while it's being tested. And that's essentially what this whole migration maestro thing's all about, is flexibility, simplicity, and getting into a risk-free environment.
Harvey, anything to add?
No, I mean, ultimately, this is the latest iteration of a tool that I've been using for years now and liked it since the first time that I used it. And it's just been getting better since then.
Philip, from your perspective?
You know, the orchestration and moving of workloads across different locations, there are a lot of tools out in this space, and you can pay a lot of money for it. This is a huge added benefit to the Nutanix platform, is being able to orchestrate and move these workloads around at no additional cost. And it does it well. It's not like you're getting some subpar feature set. It's really robust.
Yeah.
Hey, Andy, can I talk about competitive products here?
Sure.
Man, years ago, DoubleTake used to have a big hold on this market, man. And they would go from physical to virtual, virtual to virtual. But this is essentially what they were paying customers to do. We're providing this at zero cost to our customers, man. This is a tool that's built into our platform.
Yeah, and that's where we're at. This is just part of the resources that companies like Nutanix provide to make this process, not something you should have to pay for. Jaira, the next section here talks about a year of impressive numbers. And I think we hit this a little bit, but 100,000 in the last 12 months. Is that accurate?
As far as I've been told, that's super accurate.
So why is obviously it's an impressive number.
Yeah. I'm chuckling.
What makes it an impressive number to you?
When I think about, and Philip, I'm going to key off your comment, right? From a professional services delivery standpoint, right? Being out there, helping customers achieve value out of the platforms you're investing on. Think about the cost of labor, right? The person who's doing that migration, you know, does it take you an hour to move a VM over by hand, 2 hours more? So that kind of manpower savings times 100,000 is a staggering amount of time saved, right? And a staggering amount of repeatable, easy successes that customers are enjoying. Customers are enjoying, partners are enjoying, partner delivery engineers, who I will always think of first and foremost as a former one, right? Because that is a crucible of learning right there. That's a huge amount of time savings that we're giving there. So I love your comment, Philip, around, you know, making this part of a repeatable, successful delivery plan for customers. It's awesome.
And one of the things, I think, lesson learned for me, I think my team undertook, I don't know, 15, 20 different migration efforts during my years at my last role. And, it follows a business practice that we really liked. You're making changes, you're making incremental migrations. So it's very efficient on your network resources. You're not adding any extra risk because it's not making changes to the source platform. Like, it's doing everything in a very smart way too. So I really appreciate that, because, you know, lessons learned over the years of doing migrations, this is a tried and true methodology.
The methodology is great. And also to your point, Philip, right? The backout plan, right? Any kind of change control, it's like, what's the backout plan? The backup plan is power on source VM, and then start troubleshooting why it didn't work. But that's now, that's no longer a panic 10 p.m. Friday moment. That's a I'll get to it 9:30 Monday moment.
Yeah. And Jaira, you guys said something really cool a while ago. Maybe it's not powered on. Maybe it's just re-enable the NIC.
Yeah. So that's how the migration tool leaves the source VM, is powered off, NIC unplugged, right? So even if, let's just say the new guy, right, is like, oh no, panic moment, all these vSphere VMs are turned off, I should turn them all on. It's at least a two-switch process, a two-step process to break stuff on the network of power on the old VM and then plug the NIC in. And it takes a lot of conscious effort to get to like a duplicate IP state, which is what you want, right? Because we're not going to do the deletion for you. Customers are in charge of deletions, but we leave the old environment in the safest state as we possibly can.
Jira, what I think we've covered it, right? I mean, what does this mean to the end customer? That flexibility, that ability to have a tool that enables them to do these migrations from anything, more or less. So let's define that for a second. Obviously, moving from a VMware ESX platform, Microsoft Hyper-V, both of those, check, check.
Yep, check, check.
How about like a KVM type of environment?
We don't speak that with Move, but we don't need us to either. Right, because you already have the V disks in the right format, so just import them and power them on.
Right. Dare I bring up Zen Server in that conversation?
Dare you not, please. Okay. How about this? Another answer is, I've been in Nutanix, it'll be 6 years and a couple of months here, and I've never been asked for a Zen Server to anything migration tool.
Okay, so in that case, then what am I missing? What's another major platform that I haven't brought up that you might move away from?
Well, I think we're hitting all the on-prem buttons, and then cloud is the other big one, right? Is you know, VMs from AWS, VMs made it from Azure.
So we can reverse engineer the AWS and native Azure VMs back into AHV. So again, customers gone out there, gone natively, getting killed with cost. We got a way to be able to pull that back and save them some money. And we actually got some technology that can help us evaluate those costs, you know, up front. So, man, lots of goodness here, dude. Lots of goodness.
Well, and that goes back to Philip's conversation a while ago about being a holistic platform, whether we're predicting costs or being able to enable a move in this direction, that direction. All of those make up the platform, in addition to things like database services, network service management, that type of thing.
Disaster recovery, flow, micro segmentation. I mean, the list just goes on and on.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, I think we've covered it. Harvey Green, anything you would like to add to this conversation? Well, don't take that the wrong way. Anything else you would like to add to this
conversation? Gotta love it. I mean, you know, we've kind of covered it. Ultimately, this is a great way for you to not have to build and rebuild and do all of the other, you know, quote unquote, fancy stuff we used to have to do to make this happen. You got a consistent, reliable tool that will allow you to move from the platform you're on to the platform that you'll be on, regardless of the location of where you'll be consuming it. I think that's the biggest piece out of this.
Philip, anything else to add?
No, I think we covered it well. And Harvey summed it up nicely.
Ben, how about you?
Man, I'm going to play sales guys here because that's part of my role is I want to go back to this 100,000 number. And you ask, you know, is that a realistic number? I actually think that number's low, you know. So, but let's say it is. I'll go back to the numbers. 100,000 per year, 8,333 per month, roughly 275 VMs per day. Now, what's driving those numbers? Man, cloud cost. Whether cost is higher, whether cost is low, people getting the cloud. They either want to get the cloud or they want to get out of cloud. So cloud cost is one of the things. The high cost of app refactoring. Not a lot of companies have the money to refactor their applications for native cloud. So they're moving their existing VMs out to cloud services or out to a service like NC2. So again, these are things that are driving these numbers. This is not a shocking number. When you look at the reasons why customers are doing this, and when you look at the amount that we're doing per month and per day.
And that leads me to another conversation. There's a bunch of customers that have had these, just a ton of VMs sitting around running on local hardware and didn't care. You start moving to the cloud, all of a sudden you got to care. How are you going to get it there and how are you going to pull it back if you need to? And did you really need it? Well, no. But then all of a sudden, oh, maybe I did need it. Do we want that thing just sitting down in the cloud chugging away? I don't know. Let's get it out there. Oops, that's a problem. Let's get it back somewhere else.
Well, Ben, I love you, but your patter stopped one iteration short, right? You said 2,700 a day. Like, come on, that's 100 an hour. That's 100 while we've been talking here. You know,
you know, right. I didn't get that granular.
Yeah. And, you know, and here's to this year blowing 100,000 out of the water, right? Let's do 200,000. So the conversations that I've been being brought into, the meetings I'm with customers, tell me that we should be well north of that number next year.
This guy mass.
Totally.
All right, gentlemen. I appreciate the time today and the conversation. Looking forward to many more to come.
You got it. Thank y'all.
All right. We'll let Jira get back on the road. All right, guys. Thank you.